Okay, by way of introduction, my name is Ken Van Heining. I'm the engineering manager for the SQL Server tools, basically the client tools mostly, the things you download and use, as well as the client drivers, things from SQL Client through ODBC, JDBC, all those wonderful things. And joining me today is...
My name is Alan Yu. I'm a program manager working on the same team with Ken to build these awesome SQL tools.
Yes, awesome. That's the key word. All right, so today we're going to mostly spend our time talking about a new tool we've been working on for a few months called Operations Studio. And but before we get going, we want to spend a little time setting context. I usually like to ask, so first off, how many folks here have even heard of Operations Studio? Okay, most of the people, that's good. And then how many folks here use SSMS today? Just about everybody. That's pretty consistent every session I've ever done. What about SSDT in Visual Studio? How many folks use that? Awesome. And then, Chris, that's funny. And then how about the SQL extension we have for Visual Studio Code? Have you guys checked that out at all? Some? Okay, nice. All right. So mostly that's kind of baselining. We also have some command line tools we're working in Python, a whole bunch of stuff. Things, but for this session, like I said, we're going to mention mostly the Operation Studio project we've been working on. And as I mentioned, our flagship tools, I usually, before I talk too much about Ops Studio, I like to get ahead of the question that everybody asks, which is, wow, are you killing SSMS? It's like, that's the thing everybody asks me. That and, can I have a dark theme for SSMS? And I unfortunately have several targets on my back and my head, and the answer is unfortunately no. Please come yell at me later. It's just too costly. There's hundreds and hundreds of screens in SSMS code literally that goes back to, if anybody here programmed in GDI, Win32 UI on Windows? Yes, I have a lot of that. It's not very theme aware, and it's not very simple code either. There's a lot of code there. Relative to everybody's, anyway, it's UI code, but it still was never written with the concept of themes or even view models or anything modern that we might consider testable and things today. So that's why. But anyway, and so these are our two flagship tools. Obviously, SSMS is used by virtually every SQL Server customer to manage SQL Server, and it's awesome in what it does, in that it does literally everything. I think there's a checkbox for every permutation of the grammar that SQL Server understands. That said, it has a pretty high learning curve, and there is a lot of things there. It also is what it is, and I say that actually in a great way, because it's almost 15 years it's been in market now. I think from the early previews, it obviously launched in 2005. So we're not changing it. We ship it, and I love it. I actually still work in that. That's what I still write code there every now and then. And we're still going to keep shipping that. So if anybody's concerned that it's disappearing, that's not the case. But it isn't what I call a point of innovation any longer. We're not sitting there back at Microsoft going, Alan, what's the cool thing we should do in SSMS UI, and how should we redo Object Explorer? Because I'm pretty sure that would also get me shot by just as many people. So we really don't innovate in the design of SSMS. We just keep it current with SQL Server, trying to fix bugs, trying to improve performance, and just keep those regular updates coming. So that's really the main thing for there. Similar with SSDT, that's our project inside of Visual Studio. It's our richest developer experience, and that's the way it's going to be for a long time. It's got some great features. I'm sure that everybody always wants more, but it does have some great features and great capabilities that you don't find anywhere else. And I don't know if I'm supposed to talk about numbers, but whatever. There's like 2.5 million active users on SSMS right now on the most modern version. So it's not going away. That's my point there. And there's still people that use 2014, 2012. I really like those people to move forward, but sometimes they can't. And similarly with SSDT, it's around, I think, 350 or 360,000, something like that. So again, very prominent flagship tools for SQL Server. So I don't like to go into new stuff and make it seem like we're just forgetting about the important things. I've had that question too many times. But that said, I also got called out, I think it was about 2.5 years ago, I did this great thing called the SQL Tools Renaissance. In fact, I think I talked about it at SQL Bits, and it was, oh, super exciting. It showed all these things we're going to fix in SSMS and do all these great things. And then 6 months later, people are like, hey, so how's that SSMS stuff coming? And I was like, well, we had a little change of plans. And the plan was that little thing about Linux. And really, it came down to, wow, we've got this cross-plat strategy now. We've got a whole Linux community we're trying to get out to. And running your SQL management tools only on Windows didn't fit the strategy. And so we really had to make some tough calls. And that really was the genesis for us pivoting, saying, OK, SSMS, we'll keep it current. We'll keep fixing bugs. But we really need to build out a new tool set so that if you're going to work on a Mac, you don't have to run Parallels or some other thing. You'll actually have an offering or a management tool that works natively on your Mac. Actually, speaking of which, how many of you use Macs for development? It's OK, you know. Balmer's gone. It's OK. Yeah, it's a few. OK, not a lot, but some. We actually have a pretty decent number starting in some of our new tools showing. In fact, there's people using SQL Server on Linux. Download on Docker Hub, Docker image, SQL Server on Linux Docker image, over 5 million pulls. So there are people using it. What it's being used for, that sort of stuff, obviously doesn't compare to production workloads yet on Windows, but it is growing and there's a lot of traction there. And we're seeing people that like to develop and like to work with containers and they like to develop on Mac. So that really changed our strategy. And then along the way, we did the VS Code thing. We said, hey, this is a really great tool. We'll put an extension there. But VS Code's mission is all about being a really tight editor. So when we go and say, oh, I want to put in AG availability group management or SQL agent management or all these other things that really don't fit inside of VS Code. But we worked with the VS Code team, and we decided we're going to build Operations Studio, but we build it on VS Code Core. And what that really means is we created a fork, but we keep them in sync. And I have engineers that grin and bear some of that's a lot of grunt work, but we get a lot of improvements because they're continuing to invest heavily in the core editor experience, the language service protocol they've defined, and a lot of the features that you see on the Monaco editor, the things that we build, we actually can bring that into Ops Studio and benefit from those. And then we're able to, in our version of that core, be able to then extend it and have much more visual extensions. We can do a lot more around showing rich UI, graphs, things that really just are out of scope of the mission that VS Code is after. And that's really how we ended up here. That's another very common question, is why isn't this just all in VS Code? And really, it's that fundamental reason. So as I mentioned, cross-platform is a big thing. That was a driver for us. We obviously want them to have a modern technology stack, as I kind of alluded to. I have, I don't even know how many tens of thousands of lines of GDI code. It does work, but it's not modern. And so if you want dark theme, I got a great tool that we're building. And so you'll have as many themes as you want to have. The other thing that culturally we're changing, this is really not to be, what's the right word? Not to be just a cliche, but we really are part of this whole new Microsoft attitude. We used to be called Project Carbon. Ops Studio is actually out on GitHub. So you can see the whole team, and I think we'll talk a little bit more about that, but the whole thing is open source. So you can get in. In fact, I'd love any entrepreneur. How many of you folks know C Sharp? Awesome, every one of you. I would love to have you help us. And so there's a long journey for us. And whatever feature you want to build extensions, all that stuff, we'll talk all about that. But just keep that in mind. It's out there. And if you know C Sharp, you can help a lot. Some folks are just T-SQL experts. And that's OK, too. We'll talk about how you can help as well. So anyway, with that, I want to turn it over to Alan. Let him just do a quick tour, because not everybody's seen Operations Studio. And then also, was it yesterday? I lose track of time. Yesterday, right?
2 days ago.
2 days ago. See, Alan keeps me straight. 2 days ago, we released the May update. So we've done an update pretty much every month. And we'll talk a little more about kind of the roadmap and stuff. But I wanted to give you a little tour of it.
All right. Thanks, Ken. Switch over. All right, cool. So welcome to SQL Operations Studio. Please let me know if the text is too small. I could try to zoom in a little bit closer. But this is a very familiar interface for those of you that have used Visual Studio Code before. So one of the things that Ken mentioned is that the number one most requested feature for SSMS is a dark theme. So we do have some of the capability that we pulled with monthly, not always monthly, VS Code refreshes. And one of the first things that we got was support for dark mode. So let's show this off. There you go. So now we have dark mode for your SQL managed editing experience. So very small win there by being able to have VS Code as our shell. So let me switch it back for readability purposes. It's something that they recommend is have a lighter background. OK, cool. So the most common task that most users will use for SQL Operating Studio is to execute T-SQL queries. In order to get there, you first need to connect to your server. So on this left-hand pane here, we have the Servers tab at the very top. So if you click on it, you can minimize it and open it as well. But let's make a new connection. So let's connect. By clicking this add new connection at the very top, it opens this connection pane on the right-hand side. So what this gives you is you can see your most recent history. As you can see, I made lots of different connections to lots of different databases here. So I can go through and choose which one I want to use. And then you have your standard information that you would that's very familiar to you when you use SSMS. The one difference is that we also have these, I guess, server groups just called out here. So then you can organize them. For example, if you want to have a test server group, dev server group, or production group, you can easily organize your server groups. So for now,
real quick, how many folks here use registered servers in SSMS? How many folks have no idea what I'm talking about? A few more than that. How about CMS? If you use registers, do you use the CMS or just local? Local. Okay, so for those that know what I'm talking about, all five of you, think of what Alan's describing here as registers, servers, plus the connection dialog kind of merged together so that it's front and center. First class citizen is this idea of grouping. Folks usually ask, well, what about sharing that with my friends? We can get in it offline. We can talk about how you can share that information kind of in a manual way today. But eventually, we do want to look at how do you share that with a team and actually be able to say, I have these semantic groupings of all my servers, and how do we all collaborate together? But thank you.
Yep. Awesome. So we're going to connect to localhost, which is just SQL Server 2017 Developer Edition running on this computer. So we'll also set this for now in our test server group, which is right here. And we'll make a connection. So right away, you'll see this dashboard, but let me not discuss this quite yet. You have your familiar Object Explorer on the left-hand window here. So let's drill down into our demo database for now by clicking on Databases. And then we'll choose the Wide World Importers database. So we'll run our most basic query here. So by right-clicking on here, you can execute a basic query, such as select star. You get your basic IntelliSense, warehouse with tab completion, and let's do stock items. F5 to execute it. And then you will automatically get to see the results pane here. One thing that was mentioned a lot in Twitter is that people would like to be able to easily close the results screen. So there is custom keyboard shortcuts you can add by going on this gear icon on the bottom left and then click on keyboard shortcuts here. So you can actually have this shortcut available if you want to toggle your results screen.
So that's actually really hard for me to even read. How many folks here have presented with SSMS, had to do a presentation before? Anybody? How did you make it big enough on the screen? Yeah, pain in the butt, right? Oh, sorry. Pain in the backside, right? So how can you make that bigger? How does that work?
Okay, so I believe I can, let me first minimize
Put him on the spot. This isn't plan of the demo.
Right. So like doing Control Plus, you can make the screen a lot bigger.
So it's just built in. You get Control Plus support, and it's so much nicer. So that's all I was trying to show off. Sorry.
No worries.
It's a little ad hoc.
This is a little bit too simple of a query for our purposes for our demo. So let's choose something a little bit more complicated. But it's about like 20-ish lines. So I don't want to type that all out for you, because that might be a little bit boring. So instead, I'll just type out a basic shortcut. So if I type in table space, you can see that we have this code snippet already available here. And if I do tab, it'll automatically display all that T-SQL that we want to use for this demo. So in order to configure this, you might be wondering, is you go to the same gear icon on the bottom left, click on command palette, and then type in user snippets. So one thing that we allow you to have a lot more customizability with SQL Operating Studio is we have a bunch of these ways that we handle JSON files. So if we click on table space top 10 code snippets, which is a shortcut for this code snippet, you can see how it's configured. So if you have a T-SQL query that you're running constantly or you're setting up a demo, this code snippet feature is a really nice way so you could easily bring up your T-SQL queries. Great. So now that we have this awesome T-SQL query that we want to have, let's run it. And there's a bunch of data here. The main thing is that we have a string and that we have some type of integer columns on the in this data set. So what we can do with this data is that on top of saving it as things such as a CSV, JSON, or Excel, one new thing with SQL Operations Studio that we have is that you have this view as chart feature. So by clicking on view as chart, you can now see a visualization of your data. And it's really easily just render. You just click on that button. You can also choose different types. So if you want to see a pie or if you want to see a donut, so you have that option too, although I don't know what you're going to do with this information. But let's go back to horizontal bar. So this is something that you could help build these visualizations really easily just using T-SQL queries. So the next step here is that, okay, it's great that we could run this T-SQL query, but I want to see this visualization as soon as I connect to my database. So what you can do there is to build insight widgets. So if you see on this very top left icon here, you have this Create Insight button. So when you click on Create Insight, we again have this nice JSON format where it automatically will give you this exact same visualization that you see from generated from this T-SQL provided for you in this JSON format. So you can go through and change the name, and you could set the query file for where this query is currently located. And then you just have to copy over this whole Insight widget, and then you go to your settings. So by going to the gear and click on settings, you immediately see two different things. The left side is a bunch of commonly used settings that help you. You don't actually make any changes on the left-hand side. You make all your changes on the right-hand side. So by looking through our user settings here, we can go down to our dashboard.database.widgets configuration and just simply copy over the same JSON format into our user settings here. So I've already done that before this demo just to make sure it works. And we have table spaces right here. So this is the exact same widget. And as a way to confirm it, this is the widget we're seeing right now. If we go to our Wide World Importers database and right-click on it and click Manage, you can now see that same widget displayed on your dashboard. So this is the key thing is that now if you right-click on your databases here, you now have access to what we call as a dashboard. So this whole experience that you see here, we like to use dashboard as a term. They may go through a different name change, but for now we call it dashboard. Here is where you can host all your insight widgets. So all of these insights that you're seeing here are all powered by T-SQL queries. So if you're curious to see, for example, how are you checking active connections, you can click on the three dots here and click Run Query, and it'll tell you what query is powering in the back end. So let's go back to here. And on top of that, we also have additional features here. You have a search box to easily look up data tables, and you also have these very commonly used tasks, such as backup, restore, and executing a new query. So this is the dashboard experience, and I also showed you how to basically add insight widgets powered by your T-SQL queries. The key thing that we want to do with this dashboard is that we also want to make it extensible. And Ken would like to go more into that.
Awesome. All right, thanks, Alan. So you saw some cool stuff there. I hope that it sparked an interest, because one thing that Alan showed is what I've coined T-SQL extensibility, which is not at all what it probably means out of context. But the point really is, and I've got a lot of feedback from DBAs, this is a pretty unique crowd here. Most sessions that are more about managing SQL, the number of people that know C-sharp or are comfortable with C-sharp is very low. But what they are is brilliant at writing T-SQL and performant T-SQL, and there's people out there that have these great things they would like to contribute, but they don't know how to code in C-sharp. So this whole layer is all about this thing of being able to create those insights I know, so it's a really fancy slide. So it's, anyway, I could see the look on your face. And so just to keep it simple, there's really three types of extensibility. And this first one is this whole concept of an insight widget and making it super easy to be able to add those visualizations without having to write a bunch of code. And so That point is actually an extensibility point in Operations Studio. And so we're actually making it so that people will be able to do their own manually, kind of the way that Alan was showing there. But we'll actually be able to show you a little bit more. There's a whole way that you can add these and share them as extensions into OpStudio. So if you have one, and in fact, we'll talk a little bit about one that we've gotten to do with one of our SQL MVPs and how we've been able to take his intellectual horsepower and apply it into the code and be able to show, hey, look, we have this extension. And so I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. But that's one level of extensibility that is really important to us, is enabling those people that are super smart about SQL Server being able to share that with the community through extensions in Operations Studio. The other two are really, if I go to the next one to the right, it's a little more complicated. And that's saying, well, I actually want to contribute to the core user experience that you're using in Operations Studio. And so this will be things like extending the Object Explorer tree. We have great partners today that, I don't know, they work some sort of managed code black magic to extend SSMS. and they add in cool things like source control and all these things. But they're doing it really in an unsupported way. And it's really an unfortunate thing that we don't have a great way to support that ecosystem. Did anybody guess how many? SSMS does not support extensions. That's like fundamentally, if you ask SSMS or ask Microsoft and you call support and say, hey, I'm using this extension, see, customer support will say, uninstall your extension. It's not supported. Now I'll help you. But any guess as to how many extensions we have for SSMS, the latest version? Just a guess. Anyone? 10, 50, nope, like 170. 170 extensions for it. I know because you have to ask me for an ID. And so I have a name, an email address, and I give an ID to everybody. And actually, some of those people have more than one. And that's where we kind of keep track of them. There's a lot of gory details technically why we did that on package load and everything. But fundamentally, for a completely unsupported, undocumented thing, it's amazing. So I know there's a demand out there to extend the tools, and people want to do their stuff. With OpStudio, from the ground up, we said open source and extensibility. Those are the two things. So you're not going to see a lot of features, per se, in OpStudio as the first thing we do. Mostly, we're building features, and then we're forcing ourselves to do them as extensions. And how do we do this? How do we add this to the UI? How do we do? And so we're forcing ourselves. And in fact, I think Alan will show the beginnings of SQL Agent coming to life. But we're doing it internally all as an extension, as if we were outside adding SQL Agent manageability to OpStudio. So then the third one, which is very subtly on the connection dialog, I don't know if anybody noticed, the first field was connection type. Okay, SQL Server, what else is there? Well, it turns out, so similar to, are you guys familiar with the language service protocol in VS Code at all? So one cool thing VS Code guys did, they're really smart, is they said, you know, this whole idea of statement completion, snips, all this stuff is really, we could define it as a standard, as a protocol, and then the VS Code is one implementation, but you could actually do that in other products or other editors. And in fact, they've had good luck with, I think, Eclipse and IntelliJ, all looking at the language service protocol. Interesting, even Visual Studio proper is now looking at supporting the language service protocol. But we actually took that and ran with it. All great ideas usually are built on other great ideas. And we took that and said, you know, managing data conceptually is also something we could, at least as part of it, standardize. I mean, getting relational data, putting in a thing, editing data, selecting data, things like that. So we decided at a foundational level, we're going to actually do SQL Server as an extension, and we call these data service extensions. So the fact that OpStudio is talking to SQL Server, architecturally, now we don't have anything else done with this yet, but architecturally, it's an extension. So we have this mindset of saying, oh, well, if we want to talk to other things, then we could actually have a different connection type. And in fact, we were talking, maybe this is a way we should talk to availability groups. This is a thing I was talking with the team yesterday, so don't if it doesn't happen exactly this, don't come say, I Ken said so. But the general idea is, you guys, anybody here, you guys use availability groups at all? Or at least kind of know what they are? It's a really weird thing to go and connect to SSMS and find your availability group in a server, right? It's a conceptual model that's bigger than a server. Yet you only can see it from different points depending on which server you connect to. And if you talk to some of our larger enterprise customers that have 1,000 servers, and in there somewhere is a graph of all of their availability groups, and they can never see it. So conceptually, maybe we should have a connection type of availability group. And then you could say, hey, I have this larger concept, and I could have a whole different management experience, dashboard, everything Alan said, that's tailored around a view that's against that logical model, rather than I only see SQL Server, and it happens to have, I don't know how many nodes are in OE. I lost count. It's too big. And so this would allow us to have more scoped management experiences. So that's the kind of foundation. Uh-oh, they cut me off. Oh, no, that was just me. Whew, I thought I was talking too much. But that's the kind of models we're going after in OpStudio. And so when we think about extensibility, there's these layers, some super simple as far as technical skills needed to extend it, some quite a bit more complex. You want to go and write a completely different extension that can talk to a different relational engine? Come talk to me, but it's going to be a lot of work and stuff. But it is possible, and that's really the difference. Okay. So then, as far as getting there's a little bit of a roadmap involved, and we're well along at least the initial phases of it. I won't read every bullet point to you, but we're kind of getting here into the healthy part of phase two, where we've got some of the stuff out on GitHub. It's there. The next biggest click stop for us is going to be a real formal marketplace. And you'll see kind of what I'm referring to here as Alan is going to show some of the details here. But right now, we have the ability to have Extension Manager as a client-side thing, much like you have in Visual Studio Code. And in fact, it's the same code. It's wonderful. I love working with those folks. But what we don't have is a formal marketplace backend yet. And really, that's a matter of us getting enough extensions. It's not that exciting to have a marketplace with 3 or 5 or whatever extensions. And so we're really kind of manually doing it. And if anybody's interested, I can talk to you how we're hosting them and that stuff for now. But eventually, we'll get critical mass there, and then we'll have enough extensions to make that a viable thing, and we'll have the ratings and that stuff. At least that's the current plans with the marketplace. So. With that said, there's a screenshot here, and I guess this was here just in case demos don't work. But the general idea is now in OpStudio, you'll have this idea. And to prove the point, we put Redgate as a real first kind of big name partner, if you will. We've had great contributions from individuals working with us, but Redgate actually has been working with us for about, I want to say, 5 months or so. And they've actually been helping to shape OpStudio and say, "Ooh, hey, I need this. I need an API to do this." And so they've been working us with, and they actually have the first their first extension in the. It came out in April, right? The original one, and then small update here in May and stuff. But anyway, so the point is that there is this extension manager experience. I think with that, I'll turn it over. You guys can listen to Alan and see it actually live. It's a lot more interesting.
All right, so we're back to SQL Operations Studio. As a quick call out, if any of you are following at SQL Ops Studio, I manage that account. I get notifications on my phone all the time for every like and retweet. So I'd like to keep track of any Twitter traffic that many of our users are coming up with. And one of the things is that a lot of people were just asking, hey, how do we even access Extensions Manager? So let me show you how to do that for those of you that are just maybe came from a previous release. Just right click on the left-hand pane, and then you can see which items you want to see. So, for example, there's an extension that's usually by default unchecked. Maybe in a later release, it's now
it
should
definitely
be checked.
Was in April. It was unchecked in April. Yeah.
Gotcha. So you just have to right-click here, and then you can you can see the extensions tab now. So if you go back to server, I can click back down into the extensions tab. So right now, I have a list of all the extensions currently in our extensions manager. And I'm just going to pick a few of these and just go over the story of how we were able to bring the extensions to SQL Operations Studio. So one of the first things is that many of our users that are currently on SSMS want to see many of those same features in SQL Operations Studio. So one of the first proof of concept, you could say, would be from SQL Server Agent, which was one of the top most voted features that people were like, if I want to start using SQL Operations Studio, I need to have SQL Agent. So if you actually click on SQL Server Agent here, it has a nice intro page about what exactly is involved in SQL Server Agent. You can also uninstall, which I currently have this installed right now. You could see a changelog and see a basic screenshot here. But the main part about SQL Agent is that we also tested something that we haven't really done before, and that was to embrace this idea of open design. So what we did was that we worked with a UX designer to come up with a bunch of these mock-up screens. So let me actually pull this up here. So these were all, none of this was actually coded yet, but these were all created from Envision, Sketch, like basic UX design tools. And we came up with a bunch of these requirements for just SQL Agent monitoring. And we put, once we created these mockups, we sent them out to the community, sent them through email list, through Twitter, and just asked the community, like, are these, is this ideally what you want? And as a quick thing before that, we actually did a survey before we even created these mockups to just ask the community what features are absolutely required for SQL Agent. So we sent that out, got a bunch of nice results from the community, and we're able to incorporate them into our mockups. And if you actually like step through here, you'll see things like there's jobs, alerts, schedules, operators. There's a troubleshooting scenario that we want to highlight here. I just walked through, yeah. Then you could see at a granular level of each job, you can get a little bit more information, such as their job history. And I could actually show the actual demo here, but these were all just mockups that are featured right now on the Envision app. So then the next step after we were able to provide all these screens, we actually also created a GitHub issue here, where we actually created a YouTube video walking through our walking through the screen and explaining our design process, and then asked the community for feedback here. And it looks like there's a lot of people that were very interested in this thread. And this is kind of the approach that we want to do with all of the features that we want to bring over from SSMS to SQL Operations Studio. So if you want to, we can plan to do a very similar thing for a profiler, or if we look at something like CMS, for example, we want to make sure that we bring the core functionality to SQL Operations Studio, but try to do a few UX refreshes because they were designed many years ago, and it's probably a good time to rethink if there's ways to improve it by reaching out to the community and asking for your feedback. So let me actually go to one of our test databases here and show SQL Agent. So again, we have our server dashboard here. There's actually two different dashboards you could see. So you could, for example, the one that I showed before was at the database level, but this is a server dashboard. So they're actually not exactly the same type of widgets because obviously some things are involved server level and some require database level. But server level, I can actually click on SQL Agent here, and you have all these different agent jobs. So this is from the most recent release of SQL Agent that we had. I think we made a new release for May. And here is a very basic for job monitoring. So you could see a bunch of these columns were all chosen by reaching out to the community, and they were like, we must have these columns seen at the very beginning. One of the things that showed up in the mockups but doesn't not quite seen here yet is those like green and red bars that you might have
Run history.
That's not currently implemented yet. We had to prioritize some other features, but that will come as we spend more time on iterating on this extension. And then if we click on something like, okay, so there's some things here. You could see errors messages very clearly here, as well as what jobs that ran successfully. If you actually click on here, you can see all the past runs. So maybe this one isn't as informative. Yeah, here. So you can see all the past runs for collection set 3 upload and actually click on it and see if there's steps involved here. So there's a job step ID 1 or 2. Then you have that ability to see that. You can also click on overview to see things such as whether the alert has been set up and any last runs enabled. So the main thing here is that this is all right now a preview of SQL Agent. We still need to bring over, as you can see on this left-hand pane, we need to bring over setting up alerts and setting up operators, for example. And as we build those out, we would like to continue to work with the community to design those the right way.
Do any of you manage SQL Agent jobs today? Yeah, a decent number. Yeah, and it's, again, not that SSMS is bad, but we've definitely received a fair amount of feedback that it's pretty painful to have to hop between 4 different UIs jumping all over. And a couple of things that Alan alluded to, which are important here, is the, so we're taking a look at that and saying, there's probably a way to streamline that. But the other thing is that there are things where we can build stuff, I'll say cheaper in a way in OpStudio, where we don't, because much of that code is shared in SSMS across many, many dialogues. They all behave. That's one of its values. It's like it's got frameworks and the UI to create a new dialogue. You really don't do much. But you can't just change one thing very easily either, because that's connected to and impacts the implementation for a lot of features. We also, because we're in open source, we can leverage open source components. So we can find things that allow us to visualize data or display things that where we have controls, more modern controls and components that we don't have today in SSMS. So if we were going to do those ourselves, we'd have to figure out how do we build that? And if it was a custom run history thing, it might be much more expensive for us to build and things. So, but that really is kind of the gist of wanting to take a step back. And